This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast covering Ipswich Town since 2015. I'm Richard Woodward and you're tuned into the pre-match show, Bolton Wanderers Home Edition. And joining me today, making his pre-match show debut, Mikey Penty-Smith. Mikey, how are you? And I need to remark that we both got the same artwork for the benefit of people who are not watching and are listening. Me and Mikey got the hipster artwork. Great to see you, by the way. Long time.
Yeah, it has been a long time, Rich. Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's good to be back. And yeah, the artwork. So I've got the Ipswich Town one on one side, and I've actually got a Crystal Palace one on the other, because we're a split household.
It's a two-club household, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But the room is blue and white, and the
and you're vaguely covering it up with your head. You're positioned well.
Yeah, I can't help how big my head is, Rich. Doesn't matter where I put it, it's covering something.
No, that's fine. I can talk about big heads, don't worry. And also the shirt, tell us where the shirt came from as well. I like that.
Oh yeah, the shirt is from Art of Football. So yeah, it's got 9 classic Ipswich shirts.
That one
being probably my favorite. This switches you around, doesn't
people
it?
People don't know the image is mirrored for Mikey and I, so it's like, you know, we don't know where to point. We shouldn't point. That's rude. It's great to have you. And we'll be obviously dealing with the meat of our agenda as Bolton Wanderers, a team with a very complicated history with Ipswich Town, good and bad. I'm sure we'll get onto that shortly. I guess first off, I need to acknowledge that Seb, my usual pre-match show partner, is not with us. Family bereavement there, so our thoughts with Seb, wishing him all the very best, and to his family as well. He'll be back as soon as he can, but probably a week or so away for him. So all the best to Seb, and our thoughts are with you. Let's get on with some news, shall we? And I mean, we've had a live show this week. I will plug that again at the end. So go and check out Ben and Joe's live show from Wednesday evening. Some bits and pieces dealt with there. And there was kind of a State of the Nation pod. I think Ben and Craig basically did 6 months worth of Ipswich Town history in the last few months in one pod. So definitely worth checking that out, particularly the latter end of the transfer window, which we've dealt with in plenty of detail, so I won't burden Mikey with asking him about that. But one thing we need to reflect on, and one thing we've not really talked too much about, is how the ICFC women's team go from strength to strength every week. 5 wins out of 5, 5 clean sheets as well. Latest result was a 4-0 away win at the Titans.
It was
Chichester and Chelsea.
Yeah, and yeah, funnily enough, I was actually playing golf down in Goodwood, so I was only a matter of miles away, but unfortunately, the times didn't meet up, so I couldn't go and watch. But another fantastic result for them, and it definitely helps with the feel-good factor generally around the club, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, crazy that the men's team still searching for that win, you know, knock on wood, by the time we do the flagship, hopefully that will have changed. But, you know, when you consider it's a promotion, we had Sophie Peskett on the pod before. I think I've mentioned this before. Well worth a watch of that interview with her. And they were talking about promotion, and you're used to, you know, the men's league and back-to-back promotions you kind of deal with a little bit of incredulity. Sophie Peskett, 3 assists, by the way, in the most recent match. This feels on now, doesn't it? It's crazy to think about it.
Yeah, it definitely does. And it's nice to see some big football clubs in that league, or traditional football clubs from the men's perspective. Southampton are in there. They're up near at the top as well. Cardiff City are there as well. And yeah, they've started really strongly. And I guess that confidence comes from how well they've done in recent seasons in lower divisions, but also in the cup runs. They've probably beaten teams that are in leagues above and sort of realised that actually we're just as good as these, if not better. So that's probably why they've gone into this season completely unfazed by the opposition, despite it being a step up or two.
Mm. And maybe it isn't a step up for them. And maybe that's the whole point. So good on them. And you mentioned cups there, their fixture this weekend, which is at home. So down at Felixstowe, the Gold Star ground. So get along to that if you can on Sunday. I think it's their equivalent of the EFL trophy. I think it's the FA National Women's League Cup. So it's not the FA Cup. I think it's a kind of a trophy game. And they play London Bees, who I think are in the same division. I think they might.
Yeah, they're in the same division. They're sort of mid-table. But judging by the results in the league so far this season, it's a team that they'll definitely be looking to beat.
Yeah, well, it was Crawley Wasps. Sorry, I'm confusing my winged insects or whatever it is. But they do play them in the league in a couple of weeks' time as well. And they play at Barnett's ground, which kind of makes sense there with the B situation. So, yeah. We wish them all the very best for a run in that competition and obviously Absolutely. Maintaining their league form. And, do get out and support them. The other bit of news, and certainly, you know, this is transfer kind of related, was Armando Dobra made his Colchester United debut midweek in the Papa John's Trophy, the Pizza Cup, as Cole Yew went down to Gillingham with an assist from Mustafa Carriol. Mikey, you can still find him.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that loan situation there? Obviously, he's not alone in respect of ex-Ipswich players there, but your thoughts on... I guess we weren't going to talk about the transfer window, but I'm now going to ask you about the business we've done in the context of Dobra ending up with Cole Yew. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I think Craig and I think Ben touched upon it the other day and said that if he's not going to get into the Ipswich team, he probably does need to go out on loan, and at least he's not getting sent up to Scotland. He can still stay where he is, and he's also familiar with his teammates, so he maybe feel a little bit more secure in that dressing room. But yeah, just looking at the highlights from his debut, I imagine the Colchester fans now feel exactly the same about Dobra as we do. We're really excited by him, and he's the type of player that fans enjoy watching because he dribbles with the ball, he's got lovely tight control, and he was fairly direct as well, but he still didn't provide an assist or get a goal, which is what Colchester fans, and looking at the bigger picture, Ipswich fans are hoping that we'll get from him as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be playing, really, isn't he? And the good thing about him being at Cole Yew, not least for the reason you stated, is that Paul Cook and his team can go and watch him as well, which is helpful. Yeah. And I think he was there on Tuesday night as well. So we wish Armando Dobra the best of luck at Cole Yew. And as you say,
I think once he gets a goal, maybe an assist, maybe that it'll all start to flow a little bit.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely a really good player in there, isn't it? It's just needs to be unlocked at this level.
That end product, as you say. Yeah. Mm. Fingers crossed there. The final bit of news I've got, I'm being selfish, Mikey. There is other news out there, but I'm being selfish because otherwise there'll be nothing to talk about apart from the match on the flagship show. So the squad list and all that kind of stuff, we'll deal with that on Sunday. New date for the Wickham match. Not that this is a particularly newsworthy item in respect of comment, but feel free to find an angle on this if you wish. So 2nd of November, it's a Tuesday night, after we've been to Plymouth away, which is a bit of a faff. And then I think it's just before the next international break. So I wonder whether if call-ups might come into play for this one as well, perhaps, and this one might get moved, but fingers crossed. The kind of popular opinion was Wickham were mad to call this one off. What was your take, Mikey?
So yeah, Richard, as you know, I was recently at a wedding with Wickham Wanderers legend Matt Bloomfield, and I think the mood in the dressing room was that Ipswich are here for the taking, and they did want to play, but because they had a few injuries, and a couple of those players on international duty are, well, one of them is a starter and one of them is a potential starter, they decided that the sensible move was to delay it. But yeah, perhaps if they've got more injuries, maybe it could get moved again. But I don't know if there's rules against that. I'm not sure. And also Sky might be involved. If it might be the only EFL game on that night, I'm not sure, because it's a rearranged game. So yeah, obviously going to have to think about our logistics, aren't we, Rich? I know that you're not the biggest fan of Adams Park for parking. Don't know if you've ever mentioned it.
No, I don't. It might have come up before. I mean, it's not on my list to do, Mikey. I'm not going to lie to you. But it's not too far away for you, is it? But you'd get the train probably, wouldn't you? And then it's an absolute bitch to get.
No,
to.
Yeah. So I will be driving, but I'm going to try and avoid going into that industrial park and finding somewhere else to park and try and walk in like I did last time.
Give yourself plenty of time, you know, and you know, there's obviously special establishments that might want to take some of your money in advance of the match as well. Even more reason to leave early. We'll see how that pans out for Wickham. Obviously, a couple of months for Ipswich to truly gel by that point. That could be a really exciting tie, that one. So we shall see. Talking of really exciting ties, let's talk about Bolton. And as I said at the start, you know, this is a fixture, Mikey, that in the past has been loaded with all kinds of history and intrigue and controversy. It's a bit depressing, I guess, for both sets of supporters for it to be a League One fixture in 2021. But nevertheless, here we are. What are your memories of? We've talked about Bolton before. What's your, you know, your one special memory from those playoff games?
The one special memory is obviously Royce running through and hitting it early with his left foot, or taking it really wide and then whacking it into the top corner of his left foot. And that's when we knew we were going to Wembley. But yeah, I obviously remember the previous season, Kieran Dyer's looping header and thinking, oh, we can still do this. That was incredible. And actually the away leg of that one was my first ever away game at the Reebok Stadium, which was a pretty spanking new ground at the time. And Bolton and Ipswich were two pretty upwardly mobile clubs. One of the other memories is actually the last time Bolton beat us in the league, I hope that I'm not stepping on your toes here, Rich, was when Freddie Bobic scored a hat-trick and Bolton sent us down from the Premier League. They haven't beaten us in the league since then.
Is that true? Wow. Yeah. We lost in the cup, didn't we?
Beat us in the cup in 2005. When Tommy Miller was our talisman. We haven't played them loads since then, but
I've got the head-to-head stats. So given you've brought it up, Mikey, I'm going to test you on this one then. So in total, how many games is it? Bad. It's 46 games, I think. And this is going to be really crap when someone does the actual maths when I give you the results here. But percentage-wise or wins-wise out of those, on our side, do you think, before?
Well, yeah, because I think, because obviously Ipswich was so good in the 70s and 80s. I don't know, have Bolton ever really been like a dominant side in the fairly modern era? Because I know that they were really, really good back in back way, way back before Ipswich would have been a top flight club.
When was the era of Nat Lofthouse? I'm thinking. Yeah.
Was it Bolton that Frank Worthington scored that amazing goal?
I think that was against Ipswich before. So that would have been 70s, 80s, wouldn't it?
But yeah, I think Ipswich definitely got the upper hand on this one. I'd say it's probably around 50% Ipswich wins.
Yeah, so it's and again, I'm not prepared here, but you're right. It's 21 wins for Ipswich, 13 wins for Bolton, 12 draws, and that includes the playoff semi-finals as well, actually. So yeah, so definitely historically, it's a fixture which has favoured the Blues. I'll add in here my kind of intro, because I think we really need to get ourselves up to speed with Bolton in the modern era. It's a very different kind of beast compared to what we were dealing with Sam Allardyce and, you know, all of the Icelandic players that in the playoffs. You know, the Trotters is an interesting nickname. I didn't really find how that came about.
I liked it when Liam Trotter played for them, though.
Yeah, convenient.
That was a good fit.
And I think I kind of, for the benefit of people who are watching and listening, Rival was there. I've gone with Wigan, which I think is probably more of a present thing. Barry Knight, I'm sure, couldn't walk the streets of Bolton even now, if he wanted to. You know, we'll talk about the last time we played them. Though we've got that the 5-0 Ipswich win at the University of Bolton Stadium. It's not as easy to say as the Reebok Stadium, is it? Mm-hmm. But that was really kind of at the point where there was a really low ebb at Bolton. So we'll talk about that in a bit. But under Ian Evatt, who came in last year. A third place finish in League Two under him. In fact, I think you might recall, Mikey, that they started their campaign last season with four consecutive defeats in League Two. I remember it being quite a talking point. And then they went on five wins on the spin. And I think he got manager of the month three times last season in League Two for them.
They were a little bit, looking back, they were a little bit patchy. They seemed to have spells where they were losing every week, and then I think in February and April they won every game. Maybe quite a streaky team, maybe of the mould of Bristol City from a few years ago.
Streaky Ian, as we like to call it. I guess we'll start talking about arrivals and key players. And I'm loath to do this because I've got history here, but we found a novel way to deal with that. I mean, the two players that I picked out here in terms of key business in the summer, some, you know, eight incomings and a loan as well. Not too many players going out, but the two players I picked out, Josh Sheehan, who was in the League Two player of, team of the season for Newport, who lost in the playoff final against Morecambe, and George Johnson. I listed him because he's still quite young, but quite an early career in the Liverpool Academy. Went off to Feyenoord, from whom he signed in the summer, on a free transfer, but had been on loan at Wigan. So he's a defender. So there's two kind of key bits of business there. But Mikey, you want to talk about the manager, don't you?
Yeah, so Ian Evatt is a relatively young manager, so he's 39 years old. So I looked up his former teams and came across Chesterfield, and he was actually Paul Cook's captain at Chesterfield. I think it was Cook that actually appointed him captain.
Oh, wow.
And he was there for a number of years and had a lot of success. Obviously, enjoyed success with Paul Cook and potentially Richardson as well. And so I had a look at the formation that Bolton play, and they play 4-2-3-1 in quite a similar fashion to Paul Cook. I don't know if it's inspired by, carried out by, but yeah, it certainly looks like Paul Cook has made a positive impression on Evatt. It could be quite an interesting one on the touchline on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, two teams that might cancel each other out.
Yeah, quite potentially. Yeah,
because I think they do exactly the same in respect to the fullbacks.
Yeah, the fullbacks play really high for Bolton, and then they've got quite a languid number 10, and then they're more dangerous attackers playing off the flanks.
Yeah, so the captain is that number 10, Anthony
Sarkovic,
Savic,
I think.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, 6 foot one, number 10. You know, 400 career appearances, but mostly in the kind of lower leagues. But one goal so far, played 6 out of 6. But really, it's that kind of Josh Sheehan has kind of really made that impact from midfield. 2 goals for him. But there is quality throughout this team. And, you know, do you remember, here's a name for you, Owen Doyle, who at one point was at Swindon and was basically on a like a one goal a game ratio. I think it was, what was it? I've dug out the numbers. I think it was 29 league appearances that season and 25 goals for Swindon, and signed for Bolton last summer and has continued that scoring record. He's got, I think the joint scorers, league scorers, have got 2 each. So Doyle's one of those. Josh Ian's another. And another player who's got some real pedigree as well is Dapo Afellain, ex-West Ham youngster. He's got 2 goals as well. So there is, similar to Ipswich, there is threat amongst this Bolton team. Any other players that you'd pick out, Mikey, or any
interested in? So, yeah, I don't think Sheehan played in the last game. Kieran Lee?
No, he's in the Welsh squad.
Okay, yeah, they've got a lot of Welsh players. It's like the Ipswich team from a couple of years ago, isn't it? is it Kieran Lee or Kieran Lees? I think it's Kieran Lees, isn't it? He's very, very experienced midfielder. I think he's one of those midfielders that maybe isn't the best footballer, but he's just a very good goal scorer, just good at timing his runs and a good finisher. And he should have scored the other night. They had a dodgy goal disallowed against Burton. They absolutely dominated that game. And if you look at the possession stats, I know the possession doesn't tell us everything, but they dominate the ball against everyone in this league. Yeah, like we're 75%. Talking 75% possession, which is just incredible, isn't it? So Ipswich, I think, against AFC Wimbledon had 58% possession on. So we tend to have more of the ball at home, but it will be interesting to see whether that's the case against Bolton and whether we let them play deep and then try and hit them on the counter attack. Because we'll probably have Bond back in the team, so we can be a bit more direct.
It is, it's nicely poised this game, isn't it? I mean, Bolton, again, using another metric that is going to incite some comments or loud exhalations of breath, on the XG4 league table, as in a league table sequenced by the team's accumulated XG in their matches so far, Bolton are top of the league on that stat, and suggest they create good quality chances is the shorthand on that. 1.54 XG per game, really. But the majority of that is made up of their form at home, where it's 1.9. So almost, you know, 2 expected goals a game at home, which sounds familiar.
But I think, they drew their first 2 games 3-3. And they haven't scored in their last 2. So I wonder whether maybe they were outscoring their XG a little bit to begin with.
Maybe Everett's kind of in a similar situation to Paul Cook, which is, how do I get more points by, you know, do I score more than the opposition, or do I try and shut up shop the other end? And maybe he's done the latter, and that has maybe stifled some of their creativity and or creative intent. I mean, as you say, the Bolton and Burton game, just crazy stats. You mentioned the possession, 25 shots, 14 corners, but only one big chance. And that was, I think, the 30th minute effort that was ruled out eventually for offside. So it feels like, you know, as you mentioned, they've got 2 wins under their belt so far, 9 goals for 8 against, but it does feel like 2 similar teams who are still finding, it seems weird to say it for Ipswich, but finding their feet in League One, maybe. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I think it probably is that. Yeah, they're trying to find what they're all about. Because obviously drawing 3-3 twice in their first 2 games, really, that reeks of a team that is doing some things really well, but maybe really lacking in other areas. And like you say, maybe Everett is trying to compensate, like Paul Cook is. But yeah, it just goes to show how disappointing our results have been. That Bolton are trying to find their feet with this squad, which is packed full of what I'd call good League Two talent and players that are trying to make that step up into League One, maybe with a couple of experienced heads from that have played a little bit higher as well. And they're on 9 points and we're on, what is it, four?
Whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it does feel like that, yeah. I spot on. So it's a really fascinating one. We'll come on to score prediction shortly because I haven't got a clue like what this score could be. Maybe it's going to be 3-3. I don't know. Maybe it could be 0-0. Do you know what I mean? It could be anything.
Probably going to be 2-2, Rich.
Yeah, well, there you go. That would be consistent, wouldn't it, at least? I mean, in terms of the lineups, we've said there that it's likely a 4-2-3-1 and assuming that he hasn't come back with any issues following international duty, Josh Ian would probably join Jordan Williams in the centre of midfield. And then, you know, this front four, which I think is pretty much an ever-present, you know, Dapo Afellain off the left, Sarcevic, is that what we're going with?
I was reading it as Sarkovic, but...
Sarkovic sounds better. Yeah,
yeah. We'll go with that. And he's actually English, so he is, I think we can butcher his surname.
Well, yeah, we won't be the first or the last to do that. No. Lloyd Isgrove is off the right, and then Doyle, aforementioned Doyle, there up front. But there is, you know, another name that I don't know what's happened, whether there's an issue with injury, but Kachunga is a great name. Has two assists so far. I don't know whether that he's not included. Did he play against Burton? I'll just check the lineup there. No, he didn't. So I wonder whether he's an injury there. Maybe Isgrove, and should have done a little bit more research there on him. But another name just to chuck in there. Well, I've got two names, Mikey, for you. One is Gethin Jones, purely because he's a namesake for the TV personality, nothing else. But someone at the other end of the field who I think is having an important season for them is Ricardo Almeida Santos, posing centre-back, you know, in a similar, you know, that kind of Allardyce model, really, of that big physical imposing backline that he had. Signed from Barnet last year, only 26, but is really impressing on the right side of defence. So there's some names to look out for. Yeah. We've kind of given you, you know, expect similar style of play and a similar tactical situation to Paul Cook's Ipswich. What's your thoughts, Mikey, on what Cook might do?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because obviously they've had this 2 weeks, and I don't know whether they've played a behind closed doors match to try and get Edmondson some time out on the pitch. I don't know what the story is with Chaplin at the moment. Is there a chance that he could come back in?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But the thing is that I think it's unlikely that Edmondson will just come in cold, I think, off the back of an injury. I think this might be the first time we see him in the squad. But I think the most interesting thing is what Cook will do with the number 10 and the centre forward situation, because obviously Bon, you'd say, he was undroppable, wasn't he? He was absolutely on fire. But he had that little niggle, so they took him out, but they said it wasn't anything serious. So he's good to go this month. Yeah, player of the month, goal of the month as well, for goodness sake.
That should have been in the news. Why didn't I do that? There you go, news.
Well, there we go, yeah. Macaulay Bon, goal of the month. And to be fair, we haven't had a win. We've already scored some really nice goals, haven't we? We haven't really scored any. I know we've scored a penalty, but aside from that, they've all been pretty nice goals. But yeah, I think I thought Piggott led the line fairly well against Wimbledon. And I think he arguably had a better game than Fraser. But then does Piggott work in the number 10? I think he's probably going to stick with Fraser and play Bond through the middle, isn't he, Rich? What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, the big question for I think Bon has to, if he's fit, has to play for me. I'm really conflicted about Scott Fraser. I like the idea of Scott Fraser.
Yeah.
And I just feel sorry for him that he's kind of had to play across that kind of attacking midfield three rather than just establish that number 10 position as his own, which he was very happy to do at MK Dons. And, you know, we talked about this, I think, at the start of one of the earlier pre-match shows, probably the MK Dons game. Was Fraser liked to drift naturally out to the left, but you know, had that number 10 position. And I just wonder whether we just need to be a little bit more flexible with that setup. It'd be interesting to see whether Chaplin comes in. There's not been a huge amount of chat at the time of recording about his situation.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your world online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I guess the big question really is about the central midfield pair, Mikey, where, you know, if you can recall back to AFC Wimbledon and even before that, you know, the issues we've had with, particularly Lee Evans hasn't had a great last few weeks. He had a pretty decent start from Morecambe game. I thought he was one of the best players, but to me, that central midfield pairing just doesn't work. And Morsi's obviously the long-term solution there with a bit more fight and fight. But I wonder whether Carroll might get a chance.
Yeah, again, but he didn't even come on against Wimbledon, did he? Which just makes me think, maybe Cook will be quicker to move to the plan B if it isn't working in midfield this time. Maybe he'll have learnt from, I don't know if you want to call it, learning from his mistakes, but the midfield... Harper in particular looked dead on his feet after about an hour, didn't he? So maybe he needs to plan for that change to happen, and maybe a change of shape for the last half an hour. But then it all depends on what the score is at that time. But yeah, I'd like to see Carroll at some point. And like you, I want Fraser to work as well. I think his problem so far for me has just been he just seems to run into cul-de-sacs a little bit, and he's very weak. And he's incredibly slow, but I don't think his lack of pace. Well, he's not slow thinking. He just doesn't have any pace. But with Bon, if we've got Bon up front, and then we've got Edwards on one flank and Burns on the other, we've got plenty of pace. We don't need a front four that are absolutely rapid. You probably do need a player that just thinks quicker than everyone else and can see those passes, and the game slows down around him. But I think we've seen a little bit too much of him being played in behind and then just being caught and then not really knowing what to do with it. But I think we probably will stick with Evans and Harper. And I think that's probably what I would do, because I think that they're the two that maybe we've got quite an attacking front four. So maybe they're like the safest options. Maybe I'm playing a little bit too safe, because Carroll is a fantastic footballer, but and he's good at getting the ball off the back four. So, maybe he could play the Evans role, but you feel like if anyone's going to come out, it's probably going to be Harper, isn't it?
I think you're right. Because Evans appears, we were saying after the Morecambe game, he's got that good knack of knowing where to be when we're in a defensive phase, albeit when he's sometimes got there, he's made the wrong choice with the pass and sold Haladky short. I mean, we haven't talked about the goalkeeper yet. Presumably Walton for you.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Comes in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it would be really strange if we brought in another goalkeeper and then they decide not to play him.
You never know. Stranger things have happened. I think you're right that Harper's defensive sensibilities, I don't think, are as good as Evans's, and I think that's it's therefore Carroll versus Harper. Mm. I think for that other midfield position, I think you're right there. But it's intriguing how it's going to pan out. I quite like your idea of Piggott at the number 10, and just to with Bon ahead of him, I think Piggott was definitely a little bit more withdrawn, and because there was no one running beyond him, which at least in a central position, there was a lot of people bombing on down the flanks. Mm. But I think Bon and Piggott might work quite well as that pair, as you said. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, but I like Fraser. I'd give him the benefit of the doubt. And the thing that's working in his favour is, despite the fact he doesn't seem to make a huge amount of an impression on the match, on the 90 minutes, he will still find a way to make a contribution. There will still be an assist or a pre-assist, which is another, that's the hat-trick ball of crappy kind of modern football sayings that I've managed to get in there. I think he's got that position. He knows that position quite well. So we shall see. Dare I ask for a score prediction then, Mikey?
I think this one will be 1-1.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think we're going to equalise and it's going to feel like a point gained.
Okay. Maybe a last minute equaliser for us for a change.
Yeah. Okay. Are you going to talk us through who's going to score for the opposition again?
let me put up Seb's graphic, cuz I've got to do that.
It's not a trick, is it? Knowledge, education, you know.
Quality production there from Seb. So what I think I will do, and I think I talked about this last time around, is rather than say it out loud and possibly therefore enact the curse, I will send the name to Mikey right now. So we've got a time-stamped message on WhatsApp that we can screenshot if we want to. So, and to be fair, the name has come up. If you fancy having a punt at one of the many names that we've talked about, then you can call my bluff here. But there we go, Mikey, there's a name for you. And I'm gonna go for a very narrow Ipswich win. I'm gonna go for a 2-1. So there you go. Because I kind of feel like if I keep predicting narrow victories, eventually one will happen. So we'll go for that. We'll go for 2-1.
The play that you've gone for, Rich, is celebrating his birthday on Saturday.
There you go. So I didn't say anything, listeners and all watchers, but Mikey therefore has drawn a little there. Mikey's pulled it a strand there. So direct your feedback to Mikey if you figure out who it is. And if I'm right, I might be wrong. So we shall see. Before we move on from Bolton, should we just talk about this 5-0? Have you dug out the team, Mikey, from that day? Some context before we talk about the lineup and how many players have moved on since for both teams.
We were playing 4-4-2 at this time. We had Thomas Holy in goal. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Kenlock,
third choice.
Yeah, yep. Kenlock was left back, now third
in the
choice.
Squad. Yeah, true. Yeah.
We had Wilson and Chambers at centre back. It's a nice centre half partnership. Solid. Vincent Young played right back. I think that might have even been his debut. Now I mention it.
Oh, really? I'm gonna have to look that up. Leave that with me. Keep going.
I'll leave that one with you. Gwion Edwards was right midfield. Skews and Downs were in the middle. Judge on the left, and Jackson and Norwood up front. And at the time, we were saying, "What a team this is for League One." We had Hughes coming off the bench.
By the way,
we had Giorgio on loan from Spurs, who we were really excited about at this time. Danasien and Wolfenden were on the bench, and obviously there's a chance that they'll be involved. I'll quickly list the names from Bolton, but I'm actually fairly certain that none of these are in the squad just, now, because Bolton were playing youngsters, weren't they?
Yeah, just before you do that, just to remind people what Bolton's predicament was at the time.
Yeah.
And you were right about Vincent Young. That was his debut. Bolton had conceded 5 goals. This game was the third match in a row that they'd conceded 5. They were in the middle of a takeover that wasn't happening. Phil Parkinson and his assistant, Steve Parkin, quit in the midweek prior to the match. The lowest attendance, 5,454, in their 22-year history at the stadium. And they were threatened with expulsion from the league if they failed to complete the takeover or show credible plans by the Tuesday after that match. And they'd had match postponements, didn't they? Because they didn't want to exhaust these youngsters. So if I dig up the last lineup from the Burton game, if you list these players, I will let you know if any of them...
Just on that, if you told Bolton fans then that they'd be playing Ipswich in League One in September 2021, they'd be absolutely buzzing about it, wouldn't they? Like, we've talked about how far both clubs have fallen, but they'd have taken that. So they had Remy Matthews in goal, who's no longer there. So the back four was Brock Bank, Lowe, Zuma and White. Seems to recall Zuma was quite impressive. Murphy, Graham. They were playing 4-2-3-1 as well. Murphy and Graham. Then it was Darcy, Weir, King, Hames. So he's Welsh, so... maybe he's still kicking about. And then Sterling was up front. And just looking at the bench, there was Hereford, Lockett, Boone, Brown, Senior, who, ironic surname for him, Alexander, Riley and Richards. But you looking at the squad numbers for the subs, you wouldn't be surprised if they're playing in the Northern Conference now.
2 years is a long time in football.
And so I'm guessing, Rich, none of those match up to their last game.
At least on surnames, I couldn't find them in the lineup, certainly. Yep. But they might be in the wide, they might be in the bigger squad. And to be fair to them, they were all 16 and 17, weren't they? So,
they might still be looking to break through.
They probably still need to make a proper debut, which isn't forced upon them. It's been imposed upon them.
Senior is still junior.
Senior to junior, love that. Good stuff. So there you go. That's Bolton. So interested to get any views on Bolton in the comments as well. Any predictions in advance of the match, we'll call those out later on the flagship maybe or next week. But very nicely poised, very intriguing fixture and prospects on the weekend. Mikey, let's move on to Football Room 101. And worth saying congratulations to Seb. It was a slam dunk. I kind of set him up. I felt sorry for him after, losing 2 out of 2, and he's now got it back to level. So you are playing on his behalf. These are scores that will go to Seb. So I hope you've got your A game, Mikey. But half and half scarves into room 101. I don't think that's particularly controversial. And I tried to banish transfer deadline day to the football scrap heap. It was always a bit of, I was onto the loser there. So, yeah. And that's the first time you've seen the intro. You said you've heard it. You enjoyed the music.
Yeah.
But now the noises make sense.
It's really brought it to life, Rich.
Brought it to life. I will let you go first. Visitors go first.
Okay. So what I want to banish into room 101 is fairly specific. And I'm sure that every single person that's listening to this podcast or watching this video has heard it before at Portman Road. It's the shout of, "Get rid of the bloody thing!" when the team is passing the ball around at the back. And then when it does inevitably get lumped forward at some point, "Stop giving the bloody ball away!" It's best in a Suffolk accent. I've also heard it at Selhurst Park in a Mockney accent. I get really frustrated by it. And you see it at youth football as well, where parents are telling the goalkeeper and the defenders to just kick it long. No, come on. Let's just keep the ball. Otherwise, both teams are just going to get like it just ruins the game if both teams are bashing it long. We've seen enough of that under Mick McCarthy, who just add in that, yeah, he was a fantastic manager for us, and we did play some nice attacking football under him as well.
There you go, well done, Mikey.
But my God, just it's that do this that I'm telling you to do, which is against everything that you're taught to do as a footballer. And then when you do it, and for some reason, when you aimlessly kick it forward, it doesn't land at the feet of one of our players, you have a go at them for that as well. So it's more sort of just negativity based on a lack of football knowledge.
Wow. I you need to help me because I've got about 18 characters to get into the Twitter polls when we put this out for vote. So I need to find the wording for it. But I totally get where you're coming from. I was guilty of this when I started watching football, particularly as a teenager who thought they knew everything. You'd kind of shout tactical stuff. And I think when you grow up a little bit and realize that we don't know anything. You know, we're observers from afar, and people who have had years of training and coaching and experience probably know better than we do. You stop doing that stuff.
The thing is that don't get me wrong, there is a time to just put your foot through the ball or put it into the stand, put it into touch. You can take the sting out of the game. But there's nothing better than seeing a 6'5" centre back do a Cruyff turn and actually pull it off and take it round a couple of players. I know that now and again it goes wrong and we will concede a goal, but when it works, it's so great to watch. It's one of the best things in football is seeing a team beat the press or just play it out nicely from the back or dribble out of it. It's great.
But it's, I guess, you are making reference to. I need to be careful with my language here because I'll be Seb accuses me of trying to influence people on the vote, which obviously failed last time around. It's the contradictory shouts that come out from the terrace.
Contradictory negative shouting. Yeah.
From a position of minimal knowledge or experience. I mean, you could frankly put in there anything because, you know, there's always people who want to provide some kind of tactical insight and shout it out. I think I've limited myself now to encouraging people to try harder and maybe to shoot. And always they screw up and shank it, and I always regret shouting that. I sit next to my mate Mark's dad, sits with us, and he shouts "save it" at the goalkeeper, which is brilliant. Save it.
I quite like to shout "kick it in the net" sometimes.
Score a goal.
Yeah.
So okay, we are leveling. It's specifically the hoof, don't hoof it, kind of.
Yeah,
pair.
Encouraging hoofball and then complaining when it doesn't work.
Okay, I could see that. I have no issue with that at all. I would say banishing it to room 101 means we would lose out on the feeling of superiority in respect of our perspectives and opinions, and we lose someone to take the piss out of as well. But I know exactly.
There's plenty of other nonsense things that you hear people shouting, isn't there?
Save it.
And I shout nonsense as well. This isn't from a position of I know more than everybody else. It isn't like that at all. It's just something that winds me up at football.
It's a very specific. Yeah, and that's exactly what we're here for. So I'm on board with that. We'll put that to the vote, and we'll see what Twitter has to say. And you're really unfortunate because I just plucked this one. I've been thinking about this, obviously, because what I don't want to do...
Saying, you're really unfortunate because I've got a really good one that's going to win. Well, is that what you're about to say, Rich?
Now you've said that, that's what I was about to say. I've kind of set myself up for massive failure here. But I do think this is one that will appeal... You see, I've gone for people's pockets rather than their brains and mouths. I don't know where I'm going with this. So Seb and I have both kind of tried to have a list of these so we don't pluck something from thin air that's just really tenuous each week. And this is one of the kind of ones that I've had in my back pocket and waited for the right time. And I thought, well, I've got to raise my game for you, Mikey. And I've also just lost two on the bounce. So I'm offering up for Football Room 101, professional football clubs changing their home and away strips every single season. I think it's a cynical ploy to try and squeeze as much money out of supporters as much as we can. I think it also you know, there's lots of reasons for this one. I think the economics is, I can understand, you know, a League One club, I can kind of vaguely understand trying to get as much money out of people as possible, but I do find it quite cynical. But I found it really ironic, and we mentioned this in the pod before, we had the most sustainably built or manufactured away shirt ever by Adidas last season, a weird kind of powder blue thingy that was made out of bottles or something. And the irony was seemingly lost to most people that that shirt, the most sustainable one ever, was dispensed of within a season. You know, so historically, I loved the ability, you know, if it's a good shirt, then let's have it for two seasons. You know, the Punch promotion shirt was a great shirt. We got to enjoy that for two seasons. We spent 40 quid. We got 2 years out of it. I mean, I'm still wearing it now, for goodness sake. So, but I liked the fact that you've got the overlap. 1 year you change the home shirt, the next year you change the away shirt, and you get 2 years out of it. I just think in a world of climate change, sustainability, carbon footprint, whatever you want to call it, football clubs just churning out shirts that last a season and are particularly forgetful as well. I think if you had the, if you knew that a shirt was going to last for 2 years, you'd do your best to make sure it looked half decent. And I think in the modern era, particularly with our Adidas kits, which are okay, not too many of them particularly memorable, I think it allows you to get away with the meh kind of shirts, like, oh, it'll be good in the season, don't worry about it. Whereas I think a bit more thoughtfulness and a bit more consideration for the planet, I would advocate for 2 year rotations for
innovation. So I'm not going to try and influence the vote, Rich, because I'm better than that. But you're putting supply and demand into room 101. Is that correct?
I'm putting in
capitalism into room 101.
I'm putting corporate greed into room 101. Yeah.
Oh.
That one, yeah. Yeah, it's a difficult one because football shirts are a massive revenue driver, and you know the shirt sales from this season for Ed Sheeran sponsorship are a massive thing. And you know, if there's a new shirt next season with Ed Sheeran's name on it, you know, that sponsorship's still TBC. It's a big revenue driver for the club. I do get that. But I also know that shirt prices keep creeping up. You know, we're quite fortunate, I think, at League One level that 50 quid is pretty much par.
Yeah, they're not doing the different layers of like the England shirts.
Even Phoenix Rising do that. You know, there's a fan shirt and a stadium shirt, isn't there, where one's 50 quid and one's 120 quid, you know?
Wow.
That's coming, and I think therefore I would encourage I think the backing behind this nomination is purely the waste of football shirt just being dispensed with the season. As long as they end up, you know, and then Simon Milton will say, we do really great work recycling and reusing shirts for kids around the world, particularly in Africa. And that's a good thing. And we'd miss out on that. So anyway, it's a nuanced debate.
And your collection wouldn't be quite so big, would it, Rich?
Yeah, I mean, that's partly. I'm running out of wardrobe space.
Yeah.
So it's a selfish one.
So what would it take for you not to buy the Ipswich home shirt each season, Rich?
So I, at the moment, I like the design of the Adidas shirts. I don't have I think there's maybe two or three shirts, maybe one or two shirts since the 90s that I don't have. And it's to be fair, it is a collection thing rather than the shirts are great. You know, it's more that it's like completing my Panini sticker album. It's that kind of mentality, only the stickers are 50 quid football shirts. I am on the fence about buying this season's home shirt, purely because it isn't particularly imaginative in respect to the design. I get the Ed Sheeran thing. That doesn't particularly excite me, but I don't have a problem with it. But I'm not excited by it. But what will happen, Mikey, is there'll be a Black Friday deal or end of season sale, and it will go on for 15, 20 quid, and I will buy it then just because it's cheap and it will allow me to complete the collection. So I'm fickle. So what you've done is you've caught me in a trap. But just remember what I was talking about a few minutes ago rather than what I just said now. So we will put that to the vote.
Really, Rich, because the idiot that shouts instructions at the players has tried to put idiots shouting instructions to the players into room 101. And the guy that buys every single Ipswich Town shirt every season, near enough, is trying to put shirts coming out every season to room 101. But it just shows that
we're hypocrites or we're idiots. Either way. So there you go. It's like therapy, this.
We've put hypocrisy into room 101 next week.
Yeah. We just agreed that we're both wrong or right, and we'll call the whole thing off. No, we will put it to you and let economics or sustainability versus idiocy or hypocrisy or whatever you want to call it in respect. I need to find a really short definition for what you're putting into room 101. Because I might have to spread it.
Just put in quotes, get rid of it. Yeah. I think people will know what that means.
Yeah. Hoof it. Don't hoof it. Yeah. Maybe we'll do that. Good stuff. Well, we'll come back to that next week, and you will be donating your points to Seb's tally. So on his behalf, thank you. Or not, if it's a resounding victory for me, but that's excellent stuff. Thank you, Mikey. And as always, as is now tradition, I'll let you enjoy our Chavvy theme music for this feature one more time. So that is your lot. Thank you, Mikey, for all of your contributions, your research, your effort, and your predictions. We will come back and test those. We will see how your Football Room 101 bid went as well. But thank you again for joining us for that. Some plugs for bits and pieces. What I will do is for those of you who are watching on the YouTube, I will stick where you can find us at our various social media locations. There are, as I mentioned at the start, and I threatened to do this, there is a live show that you can rewatch from Wednesday night with Ben and Joe, available in our usual places on our YouTube and on our podcast feed. The flagship show is back. We are recording Sunday night. We have done a few early recordings. This will not be the case because we are enjoying our Sundays respectively. So Joe Craig will join me to talk through Bolton v Ipswich, Ipswich 2, Bolton 1, or 1, or whatever it ends up being, on Sunday. So that will be out on our normal Monday at 7 a.m. time slot. So keep a lookout for that. Mikey, where can we find you on Twitter or Instagram or wherever? What's the latest social media that we should be getting into? Because, you know, you're the guy with the finger on the pulse, Premier, you know, media savvy guy like yourself.
You can find me on TikTok.
No,
you definitely can't. At Mikey_Smith13 on Twitter and Mikey Penn Smith on Instagram.
Fantastic. I will let you think about this right now. I'm going to come to you for the final word as well. So I know you've got one in your locker. Maybe go for a different one, given we've mentioned a certain previous manager before and his saying. And you can find me at Ipswich, and I'm on Instagram now as well, also at Ipswich. So do come and say hello there. I'll try and make that as exciting an experience as I can do with Instagram. Mikey, once again, thank you so much for joining us this time around.
Thanks for having me.
And I'll let you sign off for us.
Get rid of the bloody thing, Town.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.